Morning, everybody. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in Acts chapter 8. That was a long time ago. So if I'm a little off today, forgive me. Got a lot on our minds, okay? It's no excuse, though. So Acts chapter 8, and we're going to be in verse 1 this morning. Please pray with me as we go before God's word. Lord God, we come before you and we ask that you would open our eyes and unclog our ears this morning, unfog our minds that we may focus on your holy word that shows us how we are to love God with our whole heart and serve those that are around us. You give us the instruction. So may we listen. May we be doers of your word this morning as we go out this morning. May it be an application to our heart as we look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So Acts chapter 8, we're going to be in verse 1 this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, and if you're able to stand with me, please stand as we read God's word. Acts chapter 8. Verse 1, and Saul approved of his execution, and there arose on the day a great persecution against the church in Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men buried Stephen and made great lamentation over him, but Saul was ravaging the church, and entering house after house, he drug off men and women and committed them to prison. Now those who were scattered went about preaching the word. Philip went down to the city of Samaria and proclaimed to them the Christ, and the crowds with one accord paid attention to what was being said by Philip. When they heard him and saw the signs that he had done, or he did. For unclean spirits came out of many who were possessed, crying with a loud voice, and many who were paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was much joy in that city. This is the word of the Lord. You may be seated. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. This morning, my main idea is this. If you're taking notes, right? Some of you, right? The kids. The main idea is this. May we share our faith while we suffer. May we share our faith while we suffer. I'm so amazed. You know, even if we wanted to do this, Carl, to make our messages blend so well together, we wouldn't be able to do it. So for those who aren't in Sunday school this morning, that's what we were talking about. Similar. So may we share our faith while we suffer. This is my main idea, and it was drawn out of three points that were found, I believe, in the text that Luke is trying to bring up this morning. In verse 1, we see this come out. Our suffering gets us out of our comfort zone. Our suffering gets us out of our comfort zone. We also see in verses 2 and 3 that our suffering at times can be devastating. Our suffering can be devastating, we see. And verses 4 and 8, finally, we see our suffering opens doors to share hope. Our suffering opens doors to share hope. And speaking of suffering, Mr. Bill, great to see you're back. So it's good to have you back here this morning. Praise God for answered prayer. So this morning, look at verse 1. Our suffering gets us out of our comfort zone. We just saw the text of this great persecution that is happening. We saw last week what? Stephen is stoned, a major leader in the church, a deacon whose job wasn't just to meet needs, it was also preaching the gospel, right? Being a witness to the people. And on the same day after this happened, he says what? The same day Stephen was killed, Saul wasn't wasting time, we see. He used this as an example or as a time to wreak havoc on the Christians. And it says all of Jerusalem was in upheaval. There was persecution on the church. The gospel message had reached its peak. So many people have heard it. The church at this point was thousands, 8,000 or more people, seven to more we saw in the beginning. The church was thriving. Jesus' prophecy also we see as being fulfilled in many ways in this, even in the upheaval, right? First, we see that Christians were being rejected by the world system. Christians are being rejected by the world system. They rejected the messenger and the message we saw. You remember Stephen's whole speech? It's happening to a T even in their time. Secondly, we see that they were being sent out to other nations. The theme of the book of Acts, we know, is in Acts 1:8. Do you know that passage? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come. We saw this, right? They were emboldened. You receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will do what? You will be my witnesses in what? Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, in the ends of the earth. That's the theme. If you wanted to know the theme of the book of Acts, Acts 1:8, you'll see that play out all through this book. The mystery and the focus here is the mystery of the gospel is revealed by God blessing the other nations through what? Abraham's seed. Jesus is a blessing to all nations, and the church's suffering causes a diaspora. It causes the church to disperse so that what? The gospel would reach its divine purpose and going out into Judea and Samaria, right? And to all the earth, to the ends of the earth. We're seeing this played out. But I want to highlight one interesting fact about verse 1. You may have seen it. But an interesting part about this persecution. Notice what it says at the end of verse 1. What does it say? The apostles stayed behind. Except, everyone went out, the church went out, except the apostles. Why is that significant? Why did they stay behind? Did you ever ask that question? I mean, I've read Acts over and over again and never seen that. It's baffling how we can read Scripture and miss such a pointed detail. Underline that. Stay with that. So some seem to think that this persecution only affected the Hellenist side. We kind of went into that a few weeks ago. There's some evidence for this, and we see that the Pharisees, Gamaliel, and the Jewish leaders had already agreed not to pursue the apostles, right? They said, leave them alone. If this is of God, what? Okay, we have something to worry about, but if it's not of God, well, it'll dissipate. You remember that back in chapter 5, verse 34? That's what we see. This may be one reason why they stayed back, the apostles. Another reason could be because they were responsible for doing what? Leading the Jerusalem church. They were going to go down with the proverbial ship. It's very honorable. So, but whatever the case, I mean, we can go into many different things, but whatever the case, Luke points this out for a reason that we will focus on the last section. I don't think it's answered yet, but keep this in your mind. Underline this. Everything seemed to be going well for the church, right? I mean, there was a few things that were happening that were wrong, but they were thriving. They were a mega church, right? A lot of people. They seemed to win against the religious leaders. They won, right? They seemed to be settling in. They have a church. Their church is growing. They won over the opposition. They stated their case in the courts. However, we know God's plans are higher than ours, right? He didn't just call his people to settle in and get comfortable. That's not the only reason. He called his church to be on mission. God is not in the business of making mega churches. He called a people to do what? What's his purpose? He called a people to worship him and fulfill his will. That's the ultimate purpose, the glorification of God. And this brings us to our second point. We know that suffering, and we see that suffering, it gets us out of our comfort zone. They were comfortable, settled in, and all of a sudden we see some disturbance, the stoning of Stephen. But not only does it get us out of our comfort zone and shift things up for us, suffering, but suffering can also be devastating for us. It can be devastating. Notice in the second section, in verses 2 and 3, devout men buried Stephen. And I'm sure while they were lamenting over burying this man, this beloved man, they were probably discouraged, wouldn't you think? At that moment, some were probably thinking, what are we doing? What are we doing? We just witnessed this guy get large stones bonked on his head. How brutal. How barbaric. What are we doing? What have we gotten ourselves into? God didn't save him. This guy died right before our eyes. Where is our God? Why so much suffering happened to have to one of the best? He was the best among us. Why couldn't it happen to the worst of us? What do you do when you lose a strong leader? Who do you turn to? Many spiral down into total loss, right? Many leave and flee and hide. They don't run to hope necessarily, like we were talking about this morning. What did we do without a strong leader? And notice, to make things worse, things didn't get better, like, oh, we're satisfied, we killed this guy, everything's going to be all right. No, things got worse. Persecution. Saul widened his persecution to those who identified with Stephen's beliefs. Like, man, they're not stopping. After he stoned him, it's like, while we're burying him, people are being dragged out of their homes. Can you imagine you just buried a major leader of the church and now your friends and your family members, they're being dragged out of their homes, of their businesses, of their churches. They're dragged out into the streets. They're abused. They're imprisoned. Can you visualize that for a second? It's not a pretty sight, is it? That would be devastating to anyone, wouldn't it? That would really weed out those that believe in Jesus and those that don't, right? That would be a telltale sign. If you're still holding to Jesus and you have rocks being bounced off your head, that's a good sign that you're in the game, right? The it's devastating. And here is what I know of suffering. It changes a person. Suffering, devastation, changes a person. You don't know anything about suffering, do you? You do. Two major accidents in my life changed me forever. I don't like to say that all the time, but a motorcycle accident woke me up from slumber. It really said, Jonah, you're not invincible. A broken jaw gave me boldness. Right? These two accidents shifted my perspective on life. God took a piece of trash out of a dumpster, and he is cleaning it off and ironing it out continually for his glory and for his honor. The suffering got me out of my comfort zone. Never thought I would be standing before people and reading. It was devastating at the time, but it was for God's glory and for my good. How are we living life when things good or bad, where we raise it up and say, Lord, you are doing something. I don't know what it is, but I trust in you. I'm suffering, but I trust. Suffering can be devastating. It gets us out of our comfort zone. However, this brings us to our last point. Our suffering opens the door to share hope. And I can even add on the spot, talking about Carl's lesson this morning and looking at Habakkuk. Our suffering, we can change that last point and say, our suffering leads us to hope, right? But our suffering opens the door to share hope. There's hope. Notice there's two things that happen in verses 4 and 8 that I want to point out to you. Notice what Luke points out about the suffering did for them. Notice. Two things. First, we see this. The works of Satan cannot overwhelm what God is doing in his church. The works of Satan cannot overwhelm what God is doing in his church. The weapons of Satan are to do what? You know them. To kill, to steal, and to destroy. You're seeing it happen right here. But Christ... That's the conjunction. But notice, I want to make this applicable to our lives. Satan's weapons are to kill, steal, and destroy. We learn about sin. We learn about our own self. But we can say, surely we're not a part of that, right? I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. And I've never destroyed anything. Jonah, I'm not being used by Satan. I want to say, if you thought of anyone in your heart, you hated them, you despised them, that is the weapons of Satan. If you envied your neighbors, if you looked at someone that has something you do not have and you envy them, you tear them down. You say, I want in your heart and your secret thoughts, I want what they have. And the way that you bring it about is you demean them. You lower them in your mind. You treat them as less than. You've stolen. What about destroying? This morning, if you are in division, if your heart is against your brother, if you're actively trying to cause division, if your heart is set, if you are continually in a state of, I want to create chaos, if you find yourselves dividing with brothers consistently, if you find yourself looking at your brother and looking down on him or causing these little things and skirmishes in the church, you destroy the unity of Christ. This is for believers and non-believers. The difference is we have the Holy Spirit that convicts our heart. This morning, if you feel conviction, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But Christ, right? Here's the hope. But Christ. Christ came to give life, and life more abundantly. You know the verse, John 10:10. The thief comes to kill and steal and destroy, but I am that you might live, right? And live life more abundantly. The abundant life is freedom from death and the grave. We trust in the great shepherd of the sheep that holds us fast. That's why I love that song, He Will Hold Me Fast. You're not saying, I will hold myself fast. He will hold me fast. When life is devastating, when things don't go my way, when I'm in the midst of struggle, He will hold you fast. Philip takes up the mantle. He takes up the mantle and he continues the work of Stephen even in the face of death. The gospel flourishes, what? In the land of Israel's enemies. The Samaritans we learned about in Sunday school. We learned about these in the book of Rebuilding the Wall. Ezra and Nehemiah. We come across the Samaritans. They were a mix of Jews and Assyrians. They were mixed breeds. When the northern kingdom fell, the Assyrians sent people down to mix with the remaining Jews. We first see the hostility of the Jews and the Samaritans in Ezra 4. I want to go back and read that. When Zerubbabel and Joshua denied the adversaries of Judah from helping them build the temple. Remember that story? Secondly, not only God will keep Satan at bay and the works of God will not be overwhelmed, but secondly, Christians like to think that only the leaders of the church are responsible for doing the work of the ministry. Remember I told you to underline, except the apostles? I've often heard in the church, well, we pay the pastor to preach, right? Many in the congregations today believe that they're here to listen and then go home and to live their life. Let's just go to church and the pastor does all the work and, you know, the elders, you know, that's what we got, those guys. And then we can just sit down and we'll be fine. That's a normal thing. I'm not saying with you guys. You guys are all good, okay? As every other church. I mean, at least I haven't heard that. Okay, I'm sort of joking, but I'm not. And so it's digging myself a hole, kind of. You know? But today, let the word of God reform us, right? Always in reformation. Let it reform all of us. Look to the text this morning. Who were the ones scattered who were preaching the gospel? Let's go back to verse 1. Notice a great persecution against the church, the whole church in Jerusalem. And notice, and they were all scattered. Who? They were all scattered throughout the region of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Today, who is that? in that time, who were the they? What says it in the text? The church. Except the apostles. You have the deacons. Philip went out. And the church. Common people. Ordinary people. People with no incredible speaking abilities. Right? Went out and shared the gospel. Today we need to cling to Christ more than ever. We must pray daily, asking God to give us boldness, searching the scripture to learn of His great gospel. Why do we do this? Because we are all called to preach Christ. That's why. We are called to live as examples for Christ and stand firm in preaching the word. We are called to serve our church, and not only our church, but as we serve one another, we are learning how to serve our neighbors by inviting them to worship the living and the true God. What's the best way to serve, right, than that? This great persecution that fell on the church in Jerusalem, what did it do? It helped these believers to get out of their comfort zone. The devastating attacks of Satan stretched them. But God is faithful, and what did He do? He used what is evil for the good of the church. So what is going on in your life that is uncomfortable? Are you devastated today? Are you trusting Christ to lead you through to His purposes in your life? Is He trying to teach you to depend on Him in your discomfort and your suffering? Is He preparing you to share your faith with others in your suffering? What can we learn from this passage today? Everyone is suffering here today. Everyone. Everyone suffers and has suffered in different ways and in different degrees. The question is not who suffers. That's the wrong thing to ask. It's not who suffers, but why are you suffering this morning? The book of Hebrews says everyone will die, and after this, the judgment. It's all, everybody. If you are alive, you are going to suffer. Why? Because of the sin of Adam that we talked about this morning with these guys. Death entered the world through one man. However, there is life for people, for all peoples, blue, yellow, brown, all nations. Why? Because of Christ. This morning, while you are suffering, how are you using your suffering as an opportunity to share the hope that is found in Christ? This present suffering doesn't have to be wasted on pursuing selfish ambitions. If you are here today or are listening to the recording of this message, you have an opportunity to turn from your old way of living. Living for self. Stop resisting the Holy Spirit of God and turn to Christ. Repent of your sin and embrace the abundant life that Christ offers. Start asking yourself, how can I give glory to God with my whole life? Not parts of my life, my whole life. This message is not for those who have never heard the gospel this morning. If we're all thinking, Bobby Lee or whatever, Bob Jones, I wish he was here today. If only I can give him this recording. This message this morning is all for those that are here present today. It's for all of us. I want to ask you, will you trust Christ today? Will you follow Christ today? Will you live the rest of your life for the glory of God? None of us are guaranteed. We're not guaranteed health, wealth, and prosperity. None of us. Is it great if you have it? Praise the Lord. But we're not all guaranteed that. That's not the point of our life here. Sometimes we'll face discomfort and devastation. But remember, for those that trust in Christ, this is an opportunity for you and for me, those who are watching us while we suffer. It's an opportunity to show our only joy and our only hope in this life is Christ alone. May we share our faith while we suffer. When you suffer, point others to Christ. While you are suffering, share your faith. Let me pray for us. Oh God, we come before you and we need your help. We need your help every hour. It is by your Spirit that we are convicted. It is by your word that you transform and reform our hearts. So I pray as we come before the table this morning, that we would receive you in faith. It is by the faith that we have, that was given as a gift to us, that we now can live the abundant life. A life that is focused on you no matter what happens, focused on your promise no matter where we are, that you, who began a great work in us, will bring it to completion for your glory. So we pray all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen.